delightful little true sons and daughters. I'm John Miller, and this is Locked on Mizzou, your destination for partisan Missouri Tigers football and basketball talk 5 days a week. And thank you so much for listening, as always, you Mizzou fans, and thanks for sharing this thing with a Mizzou fan. And you know what? If you happen to be a Cardinals fan, Chiefs fan, Royals fan, anything, well, you can get more podcasts just like this about your other favorite teams at LockedOnPodcasts.com. And today, of course, we're going to talk a little Missouri football, some leftovers from the weekend, and a little bit looking forward, including Derek Dooley's own personal hell that has become ours as well as Missouri fans. And also, we're going to talk about Funky Ben Askren heading off into the sunset. I've got some thoughts on that. But first, let's talk about betting Mizzou, shall we? Because guess what? Tonight, Missouri faces Morehead State in basketball. Do the college kids still wear those white hats that say Morehead and Cox on them? Is that still a thing that happens? You know, I never got that joke, but that's just me. But one thing I do get is value propositions. And more specifically, for the purposes of this show, we're talking sports gambling. And a theme that I've been on, specifically really recently, actually, well, we've got another perfect example of it here tonight when Missouri takes on Morehead State. Because, well, the conventional wisdom is, of course, that, gosh darn it, Vegas being the odds makers, the people who take our wagers and generally take the public's money, right? Well, the thought is that Vegas always knows more than we do. And I think generally that's true. But what I'm pushing back on a little bit is, hey, if you're like me and you watch, especially Missouri basketball, by the way, because think about this time of year that we're in right now. This is the busiest part of the sports calendar. When college basketball is going on early season, it's really way off the radar. We're still right in the middle of college football. Right in the end of the action. We're right in the thick of the action, I should say. NFL football, NBA's happening, the NHL's happening. Heck, you've got soccer going. I mean, international soccer is a bigger thing in America than it's ever been. So in other words, you've got dozens and dozens of college basketball games a night, hundreds a week, and especially with, you know, mismatched opponents in terms of ability, cross conferences, it's a lot to keep track of, in other words. So even the mighty Vegas, even those odds makers are going to have a difficult time keeping track of all that stuff. So it's been my contention that, yes, if you watch Missouri as obsessively as I do, you can get an edge on Vegas. And it doesn't just have to be on the sides either, on the point spread. Yes, the totals, the over-under, is every bit as viable of a bet, and we've done quite well with it here on this show so far. But my main point was more of the macro look at betting, and that is this idea that really all of college basketball betting, especially early in the season, especially when you're talking about the non-blue blood programs that just have a plethora of information all around them, well, really, Vegas, all it does is simply sets the KenPom lines. Now, what is KenPom, if you're not sure what that is? Well, Ken Pomeroy at KenPom.com, he basically does the advanced stats that most people in college basketball, most fans and a lot of writers tend to point to, right? Well, he projects every game with his statistics. And wouldn't you know it, just looking at the betting line, Missouri's favored by 19 points, and KenPom has Missouri winning by 20 points. So within 1 point there, proving my point quite nicely. And even more so, the over-under is 134. And what does KenPom have? Again, 77 to 57. That adds up to exactly 134. So are you telling me that Vegas knows something that I don't there? Well, quite literally, they don't know anything that I don't in this case. I know exactly what the KenPom stats say. And the fact that they just threw their line down within a point, they threw down the over-under to an exact point total, well, that tells me basically all I need to know. It really does. That tells me that all Vegas knows is KenPom stats. Well, guess what? I know KenPom stats too, but what I do is I watch every single Missouri basketball game. I can spot trends. I can spot patterns. And guess what? Especially the totals, the over-unders, you can really get a good feel for this kind of stuff if you pay attention. So with all that being said, do I want to bet on Missouri tomorrow night against Moorhead? Well, I don't really want to give the points. I don't really tend to encourage people to give massive amounts of points. But the over-under, that 134, well, Missouri hasn't gone over that total in a game yet this season. So what the heck? I'll keep that trend going. Let's take the 134 under that total. And heck, maybe we'll make a few bucks on it. What do you guys think? And with all that being said, gosh, I hope we can somehow make some bucks on this Missouri football team going forward, other than just betting the under every week. I don't know. It'd be nice if we could bet on them to win at some point, I'll tell you that. Well, we've got thoughts on Missouri football moving forward, and also some thoughts on the retiring Funky Ben Askren coming up in just a little bit. Today in Missouri's coaches press conference, Missouri offensive coordinator Derek Dooley had quite the quote. He said, "We're kind of a little bit in football hell right now." Well, that's honest enough. My only question would be, kind of? A little bit? I'd say we're more than in football hell, especially on Mr. Dooley's side of the ball. So, well, let's just hope that his former team coming to town this week. Yes, Derek Dooley used to be the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. Let's hope that lights a fire under his rear end and possibly everybody on the offensive side of the ball, because my goodness, could we really use that right about now. But I'll tell you one thing I neglected to mention as we ran down the Missouri-Florida game this past weekend was, I'll tell you, Kobe Whiteside has been a huge revelation on the defensive line this year. That guy has really, really played well and definitely played his best game of the season Saturday against Florida. I still think one of the most interesting things to watch on Saturday will be if Connor Bazelak sees the field. Now, I don't expect him to start. I still expect that Kelly Bryant's going to start, but unless the game is truly in a possession the entire way, basically, even if it's not, can we do the old, hey, give him a possession or two in the second quarter routine that we pulled with Chase Daniel back in the day, among other people? I'd just like to see a little bit more from that kid, because from what little we saw in Georgia, against Georgia in Athens, he showed some promise, and I'd like to see a little bit more of it. And honestly, if you're Barry Odom, for as important of a game as this is for him, just seeing what is in the future offensively, especially at the quarterback position, that's really important too. And I think if they can find a way to get him in the ball game on Saturday night, and even more so against Arkansas, again, since he can retain his redshirt eligibility playing in two more games here, those are the newly instituted rules, I just think that's an obvious move, and I think it's almost a must, really. It's not as though, you know, Kelly Bryant looked healthy last week, but I can't say he was tremendously effective, can you? I'm not trying to kill the guy, but it's not as though he's been an All-American so far this year. So I think giving Connor some snaps makes all the sense in the world, whether it's a starter, whether it's as a spot backup. Either way, I think getting him some reps is really just a prudent move for Odom, and honestly, it might be a job-saving type move, or job preservation anyway, to put it a little less dramatically. You know, if that guy comes in and just shows even as much promise as he did against Georgia, just kind of shows a little bit more of that, Well, that gives people more of a reason to want to see you come back next year, a reason to keep you around and say, hey, maybe this guy does have something figured out. Because I'm just trying to figure out why I should be hopeful for 2020 at this point. Because obviously, you know, the elephant in the room is about Barry Odom and his job security. And we've already had an episode here saying that basically he's on the clock. And he might well need this Tennessee game in order to solidify his job security. And certainly the Arkansas game is practically a must win at this point. But if he can just show that there is a glimmer of hope here, well, I think that's going to go a long way to, you know, solidifying his position in the eyes of Missouri fans and certainly mine, because otherwise, if you bring back Barry next year, regardless of what happens these next two games, regardless of what your position is, again, I'm just trying to see the hope, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You know, Barry's been able to develop some solid defenses here the past couple seasons, but I just don't think anybody can handle truly inept offense anymore. We've seen good offense here at Missouri. We know what it looks like. Unfortunately, we've seen inept offense fairly recently, too. And, well, that's what this is, and I'm about done with it. And finally, just one more random Mizzou football-related thought from the weekend. Before we get to my thoughts on Mr. Ben Askren, well, it's actually about Lamar Jackson. And what? Lamar Jackson? What does he have to do with Mizzou football? Well, I'll tell you. And you know what? I think for once I've got a Lamar Jackson opinion that may not be seen as controversial in some way or virtue signaling in another way. Why has that guy become such a lightning rod? He's just a nice kid who plays quarterback, right? What's the deal? But no, seriously, when I was watching Lamar this weekend, watching him do his thing, suddenly it struck me his running style reminds me a little bit of Brad Smith. And I mean that obviously as a tremendous compliment to both guys, because Brad Smith, probably my favorite Mizzou football player of all time. Heck, maybe my favorite Mizzou athlete of all time. Just have a huge soft spot for that guy for various reasons. But among them, what a runner. I mean, that guy, unbelievable. And obviously, there's been a lot, which I alluded to just a little bit ago. You know, there's been talk about, a lot of crap has been given to the people who said that Lamar Jackson should maybe be moved to wide receiver. Let's put it that way. Now, I don't know that there were a lot of people who said that. As far as I can tell, it's Bill Polian and Booger McFarlane, I believe, said that. But I don't know that there was a cacophony of people who said that. Seems like a bit of a straw man. But regardless, well, one guy who was moved from quarterback to wide receiver and who could run like the wind, maybe not as good as Lamar Jackson, but pretty close, was, of course, Brad Smith. So it just got me wondering, you know, with the new rules of the NFL, I mean, obviously Brad came into the league in 2006 was his rookie year. So, you know, what would it have been? What would have been like if Brad would have come in now? Would he have maybe gotten a shot? I'm not saying he would have been a late first round pick like Lamar. What I'm saying is maybe Brad could have been Lamar's backup. You know what I'm saying? Like a poor man's Lamar Jackson doing a Lamar Jackson imitation. Because that's what a lot of NFL backups are in some ways. They're sort of cheap imitations of the starter. For instance, Robert Griffin III is, well, he's Lamar's backup as we speak. Now, it's kind of amazing that RG3's still in the league when you think about it, but I guess he's still got enough wheels that he can somewhat approximate and pretend that he's Lamar Jackson in a pinch. But all I'm saying is with what the new rules are, with you can't just take a quarterback's head off anymore in the middle of the field. They're protected so much more. And also, just schematically, give Baltimore a lot of credit for figuring out that, oh, gee, actually spreading out the field and instead of bunching everybody up together, well, that actually creates running lanes. And not only that, what Baltimore is doing is really they're zigging while everybody else zags, if you will. While the whole league has gone pass heavy, well, guess what the reaction has been on defense? Your sort of big bruising Jack Lambert, Brian Urlacher, Ray Lewis style middle linebackers is sort of going the way of the dodo a little bit. Now it's much more of the hybrid pass defense style linebacker is in vogue. Well, so therefore you don't have the guys who are looking to, you know, the head hunting style, big hitting, run stuffing quarterbacks that are going to kill a guy like Lamar Jackson or Brad Smith. So anyway, I don't have a super strong opinion on that, but I do think that Brad would have gotten a better shot in this era. I think he would have at least gotten a chance to play quarterback. Would it have worked out or not? I'm not totally sure, but I think he would have gotten a chance, at least maybe if the Ravens would have seen him in the seventh round and said, heck, maybe this guy can back up Lamar, let's say, in an alternate universe where Brad is 21 years old today, let's say. Anyway, just an interesting thought experiment. And coming up, once again, I'll have my thoughts on funky Ben Askren. But you know where you don't want things to get funky? Well, around your junkie. Ha ha. Wow, that was the worst one yet. But you know what? While my transitions aren't always easy to come up with, talking about erectile dysfunction doesn't have to be difficult. Because with Roman, it is easy to talk about it. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Just go to GetRoman.com/locked and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today, connect with a doctor, and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/locked to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/locked. For a free visit to get started, GetRoman.com/locked. Well, in case you missed it, Missouri wrestling great Ben Askren retired from mixed martial arts the other day at the age of 35, and it was said that he needs a hip replacement, which is pretty crazy when you think about it, a 35-year-old man needing a hip replacement. Shows how brutal, well, I guess wrestling is. I don't know if there's more wear and tear was from MMA or wrestling, to be honest there. But, because, you know, frankly, most of Askren's fights until he got into the UFC weren't exactly that tough for him. He didn't have to work that hard. So, but, you know, the deal was Ben Askren undefeated in Bellator, Pride, all that good stuff. But he had a long-running feud with Dana White, the head of the UFC, the former owner, chairman, etc., etc. Well, that feud finally ended. And Askren's sort of a weird guy because he had what would fairly be described as a non-crowd-pleasing style of fighting. He didn't stand up and trade hands. No, he just wanted to basically amateur wrestle you to the ground and go with that. And despite his somewhat boring in-ring style, he developed this heel-like persona, and I say heel from a pro wrestling-like sense, the bad guy, if you will, this persona that really took off for him and made people either love him or hate him. Now, people like me, if you're a Mizzou fan or something, you sort of got the joke and thought it was hilarious. Then there are obviously other people, like Dana White for a long time, who, number one, thought that Ben was a boring fighter, but also probably got under his skin a little bit too, let's be honest. But eventually, money talks, and so Ben parlayed his fame into a deal with UFC and Dana White. And obviously, it didn't go how he wanted. In fact, speaking with ESPN's Ariel Helwani, Ben said that in a perfect world, in his imaginary perfect world of how he would have gone out in the UFC. He would have defeated Robbie Lawler, which he did. But then, of course, he would have beaten Jorge Masvidal. Well, that did not happen. And then he would have beaten Kamaru Usman to win the UFC welterweight title. And then he would have ridden off into the sunset and retired. Basically, that was what Ben said would have been his fantasy. Now, obviously, Ben was knocked out in record fashion by Jorge Masvidal in about, what, 2 seconds or something? Something ridiculous like that with a flying knee. Well, speaking of somebody who didn't take kindly to Ben Askren's crap talk, Jorge Masvidal. But you see, the deal is, the main point I want to make here is that even though Ben Askren fell short of his ultimate goals in the UFC, he was certainly not a failure by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I would call Ben Askren a gigantic success. I mean, if you would have told me 10 years ago that he was going to be... Well, frankly, if you'd have told me 10 years ago that the UFC was going to be where it is today, I would have been really surprised and impressed, and I might not have believed you. So for then on top of that, for Ben Askren to be an actual draw, a guy that was somebody that Dana White ultimately wanted to sign, despite the fact that there wasn't any love lost between them personally, I mean, what an accomplishment, honestly. You know, I mean, let's be honest. When you get into the prize fighting game, whether it's boxing, whether it's MMA, no matter what it is, it's not exactly a long shelf life. It's not something that your high school guidance counselor is going to advise. So the fact that Ben is going to come out of this, obviously, with his faculties together, he's still a smart, funny guy. If you follow him on Twitter, at the very least, he's still his same old self. He's got a great family, and he seems like he's, well, set that family up quite nicely in the future with the money he's made in UFC. Quite honestly, just the fact that he made it to UFC is incredible. He won a fight, and he won tons of other fights and made a bunch of money overseas too. I mean, really, tip of the cap on a great career, Ben Askren. I know it didn't go exactly how you and I would have wanted it to in the UFC, but what the heck? That's life, right? Most things don't go exactly how we imagine, but you know what? The best way to go, take the good with the bad and be thankful for what you have. And Ben Askren, be really thankful for that, for your career, because you should take that all day. Take that money to the bank. All the people who are laughing about your 5-second knockout, well, again, laugh all the way to the bank, because ultimately you were the winner, and those people behind the keyboard, well, we know exactly what they are. So with that said, let's get out of here on this episode of Locked On Mizzou. Thank you all for joining me. As usual, I am John Miller, and we'll see you tomorrow with my old buddy Pat Lynch, in fact. We're going to break down the Morehead State game. We'll see you then.